Welcome to episode 514 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Josh, we're not doing it live this week.
Yeah, that as you know, most problems with this show tend to be, is all my fault.
No, that's not where I was going with that. It's just kind of weird that it's just you and me today.
It is. It's really weird. I'm like, we're 35 seconds into the show and I'm already missing the chat room. So we can't make this a regular thing. I really miss having people in the live chat. And next week we should be back to that, but life got crazy. We're not even recording this in the evening like normal. We're recording this over my lunch period. So yeah. So let's get right into this. We've got a piece of feedback from longtime listener Jose, who emailed us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. He wanted to write in to share his home entertainment habits during this crazy COVID-19 period that we're living in. And he says, just writing in to share how my home entertainment habits have shifted during the past few weeks. In short, video games. He says, I work from home full time, so my day-to-day hasn't really changed. But I have a buddy who randomly hit me up telling me to play Call of Duty with him. I hadn't played Call of Duty since Infinite Warfare, which was so horrible that I didn't just stop playing that game. I stopped playing games altogether. Come on, Jose, it wasn't that bad. So he had to dust off his PlayStation 4, which he hadn't touched since 2016 or 2017, and got the new Call of Duty Warzone, which is free on PlayStation and on Xbox and on PC. I talked about it a couple episodes back about loving that new version. And he's loving it also. He's back to playing practically nightly with a friend of his. And kind of a couple things here. Like, A, it's cool that this version of Call of Duty is what got you back into it, because it's really good. And B, like, he doesn't say how much he had been talking with his friend, but I know for me, the friends that I game with, if I'm not gaming with them regularly, I'm not talking with them very much at all. Mm. So this could have also helped rekindle a friendship. So that's a good thing. And yeah, that's one of the awesome things about games. So he's doing a lot of Call of Duty, but he also went on to talk about how he decided he'd start digging through the crates and pull out like his old Game Boy, his old Nintendo, his Super Nintendo, all of that stuff to kind of check out. He ordered a Switch, which he hasn't set up yet. He must have bought that really early on, because the Nintendo Switch is another one of those things that's not available. It's sold out everywhere right now. Because I guess everybody had the same idea as Jose. Hasn't set that up yet, but he's hoping too soon, because he got some games that he thinks his wife will want to play, including Mario Kart, Mario Party, and Just Dance. And then he finishes up by saying, by the way, did I miss an episode, or did you not cover the PS5 keynote from a couple of weeks ago? I was curious to hear Josh's take on what was revealed. Am I the only one who thinks it's silly that they are proud for using SSD over hard drives in 2020? Yes, we know SSD is faster and better. No need to pat yourselves on the back for doing the obvious. Hope you and your families are staying safe and healthy. Thanks for continuing to record and giving us something fun to listen to. Jose, thanks for the message. We love hearing what everybody's doing and how they're coping with all of these stay-at-home orders, and hopefully you all are staying at home. But I do want to address what Jose asked about the Sony. It's hard to even call it a keynote, like their video message that was horribly dry. Like, it was clearly a presentation that they were planning to make at the Game Developers Conference. It was not a very good consumer-y announcement, but they did announce it. I just completely forgot to talk about it last week, and I'm going to blame it on the fact that they recorded that the day after we recorded the previous episode. Yeah. So in the ensuing week, I just forgot. Just quick hits on it. Basically, Most of the hardware is about what we expected. It's really similar to the Xbox Series X, but it's not as powerful. It is the Xbox Series X is about 20% more powerful than what the PlayStation 5 is going to be. And the only big thing that the PlayStation 5 has over Xbox Series X is apparently their storage, their NVMe storage is faster. And like I'm hearing roughly 20% faster than what is inside of the Xbox Series X. So their load times should be even faster. And maybe there'll be some other cool things that they can do with faster storage, but it's 10 teraflops versus 12 teraflops. And that's, in terms of graphical processing power, that's a lot. And when what I would like to remind people of is in 2013, when the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One came out, the PlayStation 4 was barely more powerful than the Xbox. And gamers were losing their minds about how, well, then I'm just getting a PlayStation. I don't care. The PlayStation's more powerful. I'm getting a PlayStation. The Xbox in this case is going to be a lot more powerful than the PlayStation. Are people going to rally over to the Xbox? I'm not sure that they will. I kind of hope that they do. And there's way more going on the Xbox side to draw people in. Things like Game Pass, Project X Cloud, all of the things that those enable people to do. The full backwards compatibility that Sony really doesn't have. Their backwards compatibility is still super murky and up in the air right now. They are going to have some, but they're not committing to hard numbers yet. So we'll see how the public reacts to all of this, but man, it sure looks like Xbox Series X is going to be the way to go this year, assuming that any of them actually come out this year.
Ooh. But,
well, it just comes down to supply chain stuff, right? Like, apparently supply chain stuff in China is already starting to come back. If it continues to, then cool. But if factories and stuff are still shut down and everything else that's required to build hardware is suffering problems, then it's going to be hard to get a whole bunch of game consoles out when that's not exactly essential materials right now.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So thank you to Jose for sending that in. Hopefully we'll have more feedback from the rest of you to read in future episodes. So with that, let's jump into our video stories for this week. First one up, Amazon Fire TV devices, which I'm kind of afraid to admit this, but it's 2020 and I've never once used an Amazon Fire TV device.
Have you ever experienced one? Have you ever seen one?
I don't think so. I don't think I have. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe I'm not the one who should be talking about this, but they've got a live section and they're expanding that. And what they're doing is they're bringing in more of the Sling TV stuff that Sling TV has been making available for free. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't need more stuff showing up under live that requires me to pay for another subscription, that's not exactly what this is. Sling TV has been, over the last couple of months, adding a lot of free content to their own app, and now they're also putting it inside of this section of the Amazon Fire TV devices. They're calling this whole initiative Stay In and Sling. I hate that.
Sling has had a whole bunch of campaigns, even in their commercials, about Sling TV, where you can basically sling in or stay at home and sling. And the campaign has actually been pretty funny. So I'm imagining this is part of that. I set this up. I have a Fire TV that I use for testing, and then I have one that I use. I was joking a little while ago that I have one that I keep in my suitcase that I probably won't be using for a while. But
right,
it's a pretty good system, and why I like it for travel is that it allows you to interact with like a web page that you might have as an intercept if you're trying to use third-party Wi-Fi. So in a hotel, it's kind of ideal. Anyway, as far as the Sling TV is concerned, Sling TV has had these news channels as a part of their offering, and this is now going to be available for free through your Amazon Live section. So these free channels that you can just get on Sling already are fully integrated into the live TV section in the Amazon Fire interface. That's really cool because they have like a normal grid guide. You can either just navigate by the little tiles for what happens to be on a couple of the networks, or you can go into the specific app that has live TV, or you can go into their guide and it shows you all the channels that you have subscribed to that participate in their grid guide. To make this work, you have to load the Sling application on the Sling TV app on your Amazon Fire TV and just go into it and say explore live TV or explore free TV. You don't have to sign up for anything. You just go in and go to the free TV section. And then once you do that, all of those news and free channels show up on your grid guide on your Fire TV live section. Pretty cool. Now, the other thing that I want to call out here that they don't mention, you know, there's some random things like they have old, like classic sitcoms on some channels and stuff like that. But probably more importantly, depending on where you are, they have stations from all over the world for news stations. So, for example, they have Al Jazeera. They have France 24, I think it's called. They have a ton of, I think it's a total of like 30-some stations, and many of them, in fact, most of them, are in foreign languages. So if you're really looking for information that's not in English, this may be a really good resource for you.
That's awesome. And if you are looking for more local to the U.S. at least content, they do have news from Fox, ABC News, and Cheddar if you need entertainment news, I guess.
Yeah, Cheddar News is there as well. Yeah, I thought that was kind of amusing.
Right. We do need a break from political / COVID-19 news this from time
true.
To time.
This is true.
Yeah.
All right.
This sounds really good.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. So I'm very happy about this. All right. Well, next up, LG is adding Movies Anywhere to its TVs. This is actually the first TV platform to get Movies Anywhere. Movies Anywhere is available on pretty much any of the consoles or the streaming boxes, but usually not on TVs. Well, not on any TVs previously. Now it's getting rolled out to those. Now, I have an old LG TV, and while
come on, old,
it's a 2016 model, right? So,
oh man,
while I have Disney Plus, like somehow they managed to get that app out to the platform that I have, I still don't see Movies Anywhere as an available option. So I'll be curious to see what the kind of limit is for how far they go back. Because remember, they're just starting to introduce AirPlay 2 and the Apple TV Plus app on LG TVs that were made in 2019. They initially only rolled out on brand new televisions. So LG's been slow to get stuff to older models.
If the app were on your TV, would you use it?
I wouldn't use it because I don't use the smart TV experience anymore. I'm pretty much always using the Apple TV experience if I'm not watching live TV on TiVo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that kind of gets me about these stories is outside of DMZ contributor Jimmy Hawkins, I don't know of anybody who's like, yeah, I'm all about the smart experience built into my TV.
Well, I think part of it might depend on how you use your television. Like if it's your family room television and maybe you have some streaming devices or a game console hooked up to it, you may not care so much about what's built into your TV, but if this is in some other room in your house, like in a bedroom or a kitchen or just some other space where you don't want to have a bunch of boxes cluttering the area. It's nice that these ecosystems on the TVs themselves are getting better and better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. Well, our next story actually comes to us via friend of the show, Keith. He tweeted at us to remind us that, you know, while a lot of people have been talking about services to allow you to watch a Netflix show at the same time as friends of yours, there's a similar service for Plex. It seems like it's been forever since we've really talked about Plex on the show, but we're going to talk about it twice today, so get ready. So there's a service called Sync Lounge, and don't freak out when I say service because it doesn't cost anything. Sync Lounge will allow you to set up sort of a viewing room where you can invite your other friends, and you as the host get to pick something from any library that you have access to and pick a movie or a show or whatever. And then everybody who joins, their Plex servers will also look for the same title. Now, it's not going to stream it from your Plex server or anything to everybody else. It's going to look inside of what Plex servers they have access to. And if it finds the same movie or show, it'll start playing on everyone's devices at the same time, and you all get to watch together. So if you're looking for a watch together sort of experience through Plex, then absolutely check out Sync Lounge. We'll of course have a link to it in the show notes. I didn't try watching it with a friend because I was trying this at like 10:30 last night, but it's pretty simple. When you log in, it gives you a list of all of the devices you've recently logged into Plex with, so you can pick where you want to be watching, whether it's on your Shield or your tablet or whatever you've got Plex configured to be a client on. And then you just send out the URL to all of your friends. So this is cool. I'm curious to know who's using it and how well it's working for them, but it's really simple. It's really simple.
So my question to you, Josh, is do you want a synchronized viewing experience with your friends? Because all I think of is, great, more people to talk through the movie. Just what I want.
Well, you regularly have people over and watch movies with them.
Yeah, and it's all I can do to get everybody to keep quiet.
Okay. See, I don't normally have that experience. Like if I'm watching movies in my house, it's either just me and Jen, in which case we're probably not talking, or it's everybody, you know, us and the kids. And then I'm usually not paying that much attention.
Sure.
So sure. I don't know that this is something I'm really looking forward to using. I do go to the movies with friends and enjoy getting to kind of talk, you know, to give like a three-word reaction to each of the dozen movie previews that you have to sit through before the main feature starts. But other than that, you know, I'm not talking to my friends during movies at the theater either. So I don't know. I think I'd be willing to give this a try during these times just because, man, any way to be able to hang out with other people, I'm pretty much willing to try at this point.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the other thing with Plex that we wanted to talk about is that Plex is offering free access to their live TV service during the months of April, May, and June. So typically, if you want live TV through Plex, you need Plex Pass. But they're offering this service now for any customer that's using Plex, and you don't have to have Plex Pass. Now, this doesn't include DVR capabilities, does not. It only includes 2 days of guide data, because without a DVR, you probably don't need to go way ahead and see. And navigating their guide is a mess anyway, so you probably wouldn't want to do it. But this is really cool. I think this is a really nice offering. Again, it's just a company doing something to help folks who are spending more time at home, perhaps in isolation, than they're right. used to.
Yeah, the thing that I like about Plex's implementation of live TV is that it means you can watch live TV basically anywhere. you can, of course, watch it on your TV where your main streaming box is, but you can watch it on your phones and your tablets and your computer. And, you know, maybe you're somewhere else. Maybe you've got family who doesn't have cable or something like that and lives outside of antenna range, and they want to be able to watch the news. You could set up a Plex server in your house using live TV, and your family could set up Plex in their house and watch your live TV through Plex. So there's a lot of really nice use cases for this. So it is really nice to see Plex offering this live TV service for free.
Now, they're also pointing to some different companies that are offering antenna capabilities for those who, you know, don't have the ability to get this content. So tuners, antenna, stuff like that. Some are offering specials right now. Of course, we have our favorites. We both use the HD Home Run for our tuner service, but there are other options.
There are. But why would you get those?
We like
network tuners for the win.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, a couple of audio stories. And this first one, man, I was so excited about this. I almost made it a featured story.
Wow.
I know. We talked probably a month ago about Spotify working on a kids version of their app, but they, at the time, only released it in Ireland and maybe one other country. Like, it was a really limited release, probably just for testing purposes, basically, to iron out any kinks in the service. And it's now available, not everywhere, but it's available in the US and France and other European countries. So what is this app and how does it work? Well, to start, it is a completely standalone Spotify Kids app. It is not, you know, the idea is your kids probably have their own devices, but even if they don't, you can put this on your phone or tablet or whatever. And you log into it, kind of create an account for your kid. So that means you do have to have the Spotify Premium Family subscription, which is $14.99 a month. It allows you to have six accounts on your Spotify account. And then once you've installed this and gone through the setup, it's going to ask you for the kid's name, like just their first name. It'll ask you for their birthday, but you don't have to put it in. It just kind of helps to tailor a little bit of the experience. And then it also asks you, we basically have two age tiers. Is your kid less than five, or are they like 5 to 12 years old? And then when you pick one of those, and you can switch later if you ended up choosing wrong or don't like what you got, you're presented with 100% curated content. There's no algorithms going on here. There's no machine learning on your child's listening habits. There's also essentially no chance of there being explicit content in any of these libraries, because there's over 8,000 songs available here, and none of them are going to have explicit lyrics. And all of it is chosen by humans as to what goes on or what shows up in both of these age tiers. So, you know, if you pick the older tier, you're not just going to have like Disney music and stuff. Like, there's a lot of Taylor Swift songs in there and some Billie Eilish stuff. And, but it's also not just pop. Like, there's country music, there's Christian music, there's worship music in there even. Like, there's all sorts of different stuff in here. Another key genre, there's like bedtime music. That's kind of an important one.
Smart.
Yeah, super smart. Then you can just give them the app and let them go to town. And there's a parental lock on it so that, you know, you have to put in a PIN if they want to change the age group and some of that sort of stuff. But the app is super cute. They pick a little emoji sort of thing as their icon. There's not a ton of words. So if you've got really little kids who don't know how to read yet or aren't great at reading, there's enough pictures to make it fairly obvious, like, oh, there's Elsa. That's what I want to listen to, you know, not me. Please, no more Elsa in my house.
Says every parent.
Right. So they've made 125 playlists. I said 8,000 songs. They've also got essentially audiobooks. It says 60 hours worth of stories. I didn't investigate that side of it yet. But the music is good. Like, it's all there. It's super easy to use. I don't think your kids are going to have a hard time using this at all. And the other big, huge benefit to this is if you've been using your account to play music for your kids, all of your playlists are screwed up.
Right.
Because you probably don't want to be listening to lots of Disney songs and all that stuff or whatever, you know, kids bop and hey, all this wait. Crap.
Okay. That, no, but I listen to plenty of Disney songs.
Yeah, I guess. They aren't going to be messing up your own suggestions. Now, I haven't figured out if there's a way to go in and like remove all of that stuff from your playlist once they've stopped using your account. But I'm going to look into that. Because my wife's account is full of Disney stuff and sleeping music because she's the one who puts our youngest child to bed, and she will always start a specific bedtime sleeping music thing on her Spotify account and then cast it to the Google Home speaker that we have in the bedroom. It works out really great, but that's the one thing that's missing from this app. Spotify Connect is listed as coming soon. So this still isn't perfect yet for my family's ideal use cases, but it's coming real soon. Of course, the app is free. Go and check it out. I think we're going to be using this a lot, and I just can't wait for the Spotify Connect functionality to come.
Can you do Bluetooth streaming to a Google speaker?
Like in general or yeah. just from the app?
Well, yes and yes. I would think that should be possible.
I think, boy, I've never tried.
You should try it.
I think you can.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I'll have to give that a try.
Have to remember to disconnect.
Right. Well, because that's the nice thing about Spotify Connect is that you basically, it's like Chromecast, yeah. You know, you just flick it over to the speaker and then leave.
Yep.
And like my wife likes to do video calls with her friends after the kids are in bed. And if she's Bluetooth streaming Spotify sure. to the speaker, that's not going to work.
Yep. 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 Understood. Huh. Cool. Cool. Now, do you know, are they going to have anything also that maybe lets you access Spotify Kids from, I don't know, like maybe your Google Play account, like the way that you would normally get to Spotify music?
Oh, like just use a voice command to say play blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, yeah, that'd be nice. Like say play Frozen 2 soundtrack
right.
from Spotify Kids.
Yeah. Or just set it up so that I haven't really done a whole lot with media with my Google Homes, but it'd be interesting if you could just, you know, set up a certain device that in this room, this is the service that's available or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Right.
That's a good idea. I'll look into it.
Worth checking out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is far less exciting to me than that was to you. But again, another free service available from a media provider, SiriusXM, is making its streaming service free until May 15th. So for the next month and a half, about 45 days, you can enjoy everything that SiriusXM has to offer. That includes Howard Stern. That includes all of the extra stations. I believe that even includes their on-demand content. Now, I have gone online to try to use this, and on my Fire TV, I was able to load the SiriusXM app and just start streaming stuff. I was getting some error messages. I think the way this works is that you can use a trial, but if you have an ID, you can just sign on with your ID now. Like, you might have an ID because you have SiriusXM in your car and you don't want to pay the $13 a month extra to be able to also get their streaming. So now you can get the streaming too for the next month and a half, or you can just use the streaming. It's pretty cool. And I'm excited to see that they have this. They also have what they're tagging as stay home channels. I don't know that, I don't know what that's all about, but I think
it's supposed to be like happier, more upbeat music.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's a good idea, I guess. And of course they have exclusive artist channels like Billy Joel and Dave Matthews Band and stuff like that. So definitely check that out if you're interested. I know I always liked the streaming service, but I didn't want to pay their prices for it. And usually when my free trial ends in the car, after I have a new car, I just stop listening to SiriusXM altogether because I don't want to pay their subscription fee.
Right. Yeah. You really hate those subscriptions.
Well, I don't mind paying them for things that I think are worth it. My problem with SiriusXM is I feel like if you have the car service, you should also get the streaming service.
Yeah.
Particularly since the car service is expensive and it's crappy sound. Every vehicle that I've ever had, no matter how good the system is, has awful, awful quality sound for the SiriusXM.
Hmm. Yeah, and before you said it today, I didn't realize that the streaming was an extra subscription.
Oh, yeah.
That's nuts.
That's not included.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least it's free for the next month and a half. All right, on to a little bit of gaming stuff. No real big gaming news, especially since I kind of already covered the PlayStation 5 thing. But because we're now in the month of April, Xbox and PlayStation have new free games for you to download. On the Xbox side, if you have an Xbox Live Gold subscription, you've still got another couple of weeks to get Shantae Half Genie Hero available. But the new games, so all month long on Xbox One, you can get Project Cars 2.
That's pretty cool.
I love this game. If you like sim racing, this is my favorite game. Like, I think this is the best one available right now. So it's free. Go get it. Then April 16th through May 15th, Knights of Pen and Paper Bundle. This is not one I was familiar with. It's apparently a retro turn-based, like retro-looking turn-based RPG. So might be cool if you're into that sort of thing. And then your free Xbox 360 games, which are, of course, backwards compatible. For the first half of the month, Fable Anniversary. This was a pretty big game back in the Xbox 360 days. And then another one, the other one, I've never heard of this. It's called Toy Box Turbos. It's like an overhead racing game. Very arcadey. You know, it's toy cars racing. It looks like it could be fun. I don't know. I'm probably not even going to download it, to tell you the truth. But those are your free games for the month of April on Xbox. And on the PlayStation side, they're giving you Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. Maybe not everyone's favorite Uncharted game, but definitely a really good one. I mean, they were all really good. And then you also get a racing game that I love, Dirt Rally 2.0. So that's a very hard, fairly realistic rally racing simulation game. If you're bummed that you can't get Dirt Rally on the Xbox side, it's in Game Pass. So if you're a Game Pass subscriber, you've already got access to that. So those are all of your free games on consoles for the month of April. So that's it for our gaming news. That's it for all of our news, really. So let's dig into maybe our favorite section, and that's what's going on in our entertainment centers. Richard, what are you up to?
I have been watching a lot of TV, perhaps not surprisingly, and I have been watching the usuals, The Conners, Modern Family, and Superstore. I am finally caught up on This Is Us. That was a hard watch. Like I said, I wasn't really up for a bunch of serious stuff, and it was serious stuff. But I wanted to finish the season. It's, you know, it's a good show. I like the show. I think it's the end of the season now. It had a full loop back to the first episode of the season. So I'm pretty sure that they have closed out this season. Like I said, I'm going to be really surprised if we see the final episode for the season for New Amsterdam. It was about their hospital system getting overloaded. New York Yikes. Is way beyond that right now yeah. with field hospitals in convention centers and in tents. So I don't expect that we're going to actually see that episode air. Another episode of Ultimate Engineering, the Flash and Arrow still kind of catching up on the most recent series, the seasons of those. I am caught up on Homeland and Westworld, enjoying both of them quite a lot. Westworld season 3 is so good. It is so good. Kind of making up for the confusing mess of what was going on last season, but I'm really impressed with it. I finished Mythic Quest, the gaming comedy thing on Apple TV Plus. Really enjoyed that. That is very likely going to be coming back. I finished Picard. Very satisfied with it. Very, very satisfied. One or two things I wish they had done, but I would recommend it entirely to Star Trek fans. Also, I finished Grace and Frankie season 5, and we're going to be starting the final season 6, shortly. And we also started, based on a recommendation from a friend of Edward's, I think it's on Fox. I'm not sure. Our Cartoon President, which is, as you can imagine, a kind of, you know, comedy mock of what's going on in an animation style. And I've also gotten back to Cheers season 2 because I'm so happy about this. Jenny and Matt, my friend Jenny Josephson, the producer, she and her husband Matt did Let's Talk About Cheers, and they finally got an episode out where they talk about the rest of season 2. So I'm kind of binging on that when I have a chance to catch a few episodes there. And last weekend, we watched Toy Story 4, which Edward hadn't seen yet. He liked it, I think, least of all the Toy Story movies, even though it did better than any of the other Toy Story movies. I had already seen it in the theater, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. Have you seen this one yet?
I haven't. I think the rest of my family saw it in theaters, and I don't know why I wasn't with them, but no, I haven't seen this. Is it on Disney Plus?
I don't know if it's on Disney Plus yet or not. I had purchased it when it came out.
Of course you did.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was better than 3. I didn't like 3 for a lot of reasons. And a lot
because
of that
it was like the saddest movie
yeah,
ever
it was,
created.
It was sad and intense. You know, I thought it was way too intense for little kids.
Yeah.
And it had a really good, it ended very sad, but satisfying, mm-hmm. but they kind of take that the next step now. And I really liked what they did. I thought it was good. And of course, a whole lot of news. And how weird is it to watch news programs, morning programs, or whatever else, where nearly half of the people on are doing it from home, like you and I are doing right now.
Yeah.
But less professionally,
they learned how to do it from us.
Frankly.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. We've actually had a couple of people say, I wish these news broadcasters could do this from home as well as the DMZ guys do, which I appreciate the compliment. Like, this isn't hard, people. This really isn't that hard.
That's easy to say when we've been doing it for 8 years, but I mean, you know.
So the one thing I want to congratulate you on here is 1, 2, 3, 4 things you finished in the last week, like finishing things. That's good. That's awesome.
I know. And I almost took on something new last night and I thought better of it. I don't need more new content when I have stuff that I haven't finished yet. So.
Well, you started Our Cartoon President and you went back to Cheers.
Yeah, but I'm always, but because I didn't finish Cheers, I'm only on season 2. I mean, come on. I have a long way to go there.
Yeah. Well, for me, I maybe surprisingly actually watched something.
Yay!
Jen had been really excited to watch this documentary on Disney Plus called Free Solo. And so we watched it the night after we recorded the podcast, I think. And it's about a free solo climber. And free solo rock climbing means you're doing it by yourself. That's the solo. And free meaning there's nothing holding you on. There's no rope. If you fall, you die, basically. I mean, if you're up more than a few feet, I suppose. And this really, really amazing free solo climber decided that he wanted to try and free solo El Capitan at, you know, over in Yellowstone, or I don't remember which park that's in. Massive, massive, like basically sheer granite mountain to just climb. No one's ever done it before. So it was a documentary of him attempting that. I won't tell you whether or not he makes it. It was really good. It was really good. And it's free on Disney Plus. So check it out if you're looking for something a little different. On the gaming side, I finished something. Finally finished Gears 5. After we finished it this weekend, we said, we need to find out when exactly it was that we started this thing. Yeah, it was September that we started. So that took a little longer than it should have, even though it's not that long of a campaign. It was good. Unfortunately, right near the end, there's a section that I think is way, way, way harder than it should be. We were playing on the normal difficulty setting. I think it's called intermediate for the entire game. And there were boss fights and stuff where we died a bunch of times and had to redo them. But we spent at least a half an hour on this one section. It might have been more like 45 minutes. And we could not beat it. Now, fortunately, you can adjust the difficulty whenever you want. And so we bumped it down to the next easier setting. And the next easier setting is way easier. Like there, it felt like maybe far too big of a jump in difficulty scaling, but that made it a whole lot easier. And we completed it on the very first attempt on the easier setting and then finished up the game. So good game. If you still haven't gotten around to playing Gears 5, you should. It is a good one, and it's a fun one to play with a friend or two. So check that out. It's also on Game Pass, which is how I played it. Finished up the Warlords of New York expansion for The Division 2 this weekend, and then discovered that unlike, you know, previous endings to Division 2 content or even the first Division, they have really put a ton of work into what we now call the end game in the Division 2 actually is. There is a whole lot of new mechanics, new systems to check out. It's a fully grown up game as a service game now. So I don't think we're going to, but it is absolutely a game now where we could just play this every night and have new stuff to be doing. But I'm probably not going to do that. And then also spent some more time trying to make it through Golf Story on the Nintendo Switch. I still really like that game, and I feel like I have a lot to go. But I guess when you only play a couple, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week, it's going to take a long time to get through any game. So that's it. That's what I've been doing.
Cool, cool. You know, I'm still waiting to hear that you've started Homeland. When am I going to hear that, Josh?
You know, I actually thought about starting it a couple of nights ago and then decided, no, I'm going to wait. Like, because I'm going to want to binge this, and I don't have time to watch two episodes tonight. And the next couple of nights are going to be dominated by the podcast. And so I'm waiting. I don't know. Maybe I'll start it this weekend. I do miss that show. And with not really having hockey to watch, I actually, the other night, I was like cleaning up around the house and stuff. And I'm like, with the hockey subscription service that I have, I'm pretty sure it allows me to go back and watch any game throughout the season. So I opened up that app on the NVIDIA Shield and was like, well, the Penguins were playing really well in January, so let's just go back to January and find a game that they won, and I'm going to turn that on while I'm cleaning the house. And it was something.
Yeah.
It's not the same watching games that you've already seen, though.
What are those services doing during this time? Like, what if, for example, you had, Major League Baseball or any of the other things that either were, you know, ending or starting up right around this time? I wonder what those subscription packages are doing right now.
Yeah, I'm really curious about baseball because baseball didn't even get to start. And I don't know specifically about the NBA, but with the NHL service, like I said, you can go back and watch anything that happened this season. And I believe they've made it so that anybody can access that content for free now. You don't have to pay. So if you're missing hockey, you can get that now without having to pay the, you know, I think that's regularly $150 for a yearly subscription.
Okay, great. But then if you have a subscription, then why are you still paying?
Well, I paid up front.
Well,
so
right. But don't, like, I feel like they should be doing something to compensate their subscribers for not having the new content that they were expecting.
That would be nice. Yeah, I basically lost a month of the season. And they don't have to do anything yet because the NHL stubbornly has not canceled the regular season yet. They still keep talking about how we're going to finish it somehow. And it's not going to happen. Like, they might play a couple, like, assuming that the world resumes to be somewhat normal this summer,
right?
They'll probably do the playoffs. But they're not going to finish out the last month of the regular season. Right. There's not time for that. Right. So
they
need to cancel it. And then, frankly, I don't care if I paid for a month of service that I don't get to watch. It has a much bigger impact on, like, the lives of the people who bought tickets to these games that aren't going to happen.
Sure.
Or the people who work in the arenas for these games that aren't going to happen.
Yep.
Because none of that is getting compensated as long as those games are still on the schedule. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Awesome.
So the NHL, I know, and NHL.com does have a bunch of stuff they're doing where you can go in and watch classic games, and they've made, like, they do documentaries on the Stanley Cup winners every year. So, like, the last four Stanley Cup winners, they're a documentary series that you can go and watch for free. And they've got some classic games that you can go and watch for free. So they are doing a bunch of stuff like that for starved hockey fans. But I'm not sure what the other sports are doing.
Mm. Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. If you want to get a hold of us and let us know what you're doing with all of your time at home right now, you can reach out to us a lot of different ways. We're on Twitter at Richard Gunther and at Josh Pollard and at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, and we've got an email address, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. All of that stuff is over in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com, where you're also going to find our other podcast, Richard's show, Home On, where he covers the latest smart home stuff. And Richard, tell our listeners about the latest episode, because I really enjoyed it.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm glad. Yeah, certainly we've been talking about this for a while now. We had one of the product managers from Samsung on, and we talked about what's going on with the platform, how they're encouraging people to migrate over, and how they're handling the fact that not everything has been ready to migrate yet. Some of it because of them, some of it because of third-party developers. So stuff's moving along, and I think we had a great conversation there. Now, coming up, I am pretty much doing what a bunch of other podcasters are doing right now and talking about what are you doing while you're home. And specifically, I'm asking what I think you'll find to be some familiar voices, what projects they're getting into as they've been likely spending more time at home. Is this an opportunity to maybe get into stuff? Now, on the Smart Home Show, we talked about a whole bunch of different ideas of stuff that you could do and like what's on my to-do list and what's on Adam's to-do list. But here we're specifically asking people about the projects that they've been getting into, how they've been going, how they did them, and stuff like that. So I think you'll find it interesting.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, we normally do this show live Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and we should be back to that schedule next week. It's not like there's anything else on our calendars for us to do. So come and check that out next week. That we always tweet about it, or at least we try to tweet about it when it's actually going to happen so that you know when to show up for the live show. That's going to do it for episode 514. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.